Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which is a greeting of peace. Peace be unto you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. Today we're going to be talking about the verbatim word of God, which is the Quran. Now, you are intelligent enough to know that there is only one God. Everything in this universe is running according to His will. The sun, the moon, all the galaxies, everything out there. You don't see other gods besides the one God, because if you did, there'd be confusion in the universe. There'd be chaos, but you do not see this. That's why this is a testimony in itself that there's only one God. Now, this one God who loves us, He cares for us, He provides the air that we breathe, gives us the food that we eat, and He wants to guide us. So throughout time, He has sent messengers to tell us how He wants us to live. Now, these messengers, they were the way. Just like during the time of Moses, he was the way, teaching you the truth on how to get to God. And he was equipped with certain signs, wonders, and miracles to prove, to establish that he was indeed a messenger from the one God. Then we had Jesus, who was the way, who was the truth, who was the light. In a time when people were in darknesses, He was the light showing you, teaching you how to get to the one God. Abraham, Noah, and the last and final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they were all teachers instructing all the human beings on how to worship the one God, how to get close to Him, and how to attain paradise. Now, they were given certain proofs and evidences. And today, we're going to be talking about the evidence that is a living miracle to this day. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he did certain miracles during his time. But we have today the living miracle, which is, as I said earlier, the verbatim word of God, which is a sign for anybody who is honest and sincere with himself. If he comes at it with an open heart and open mind, ask God to guide him, he will see that this is not from a human being, that this is indeed from the Creator. So my next guest when I come out is going to be establishing some evidences to help those who are sincere with themselves and with their Creator to know, like we know, over 1.5 billion people all around the world, that this is indeed from the Creator of the heavens and earth and instructional for you. Thank you. We'll be right back. You don't want to go nowhere.
Allah. There's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Dr. Sabil, the Doctor of Dawah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We've partnered up in the past. You've been on the Deen Show. You're no stranger to our viewers.
Good to be here. And greetings to all the viewers. Peace and blessings to all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We're going to be talking about something that's very, very exciting for us to talk about, is the Quran. It's nothing complicated to figure out, but you're going to help establish some of those evidences. You're going to help us tackle this topic so the sincere person out there can come to the realization, as we have, that this book, which was revealed over a span of 23 years, is indeed revelation from the Creator of the heavens and earth. Talk to us about this Quran.
All right, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. As we all know that we as human beings, we are created by a being who is higher than us, who we Muslims refer to as Allah. And we know that this Creator is a loving Creator. He would like to guide us. So all throughout history, He has sent prophets and messengers. It says in chapter 16 of the Quran, verse number 36, that it is Allah who has sent messengers to all the nations. And they came with one truth. Worship God alone. Do not worship His creation.
Yes.
Now, to certain messengers and prophets, our Creator, He has given certain books, certain revelations. One of those revelations, or the last revelation, is the Quran, which was given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, about 1400 years ago. Now, in the Quran, Allah has mentioned many times that human beings, we should use our logic, we should use our mind, we should ponder, we should think, we should reflect. So Islam is not a faith of just blindly believing just because of our culture, parents, society, friends is telling us to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Islam wants us to use our mind and establish the evidence. So since we Muslims say that...
Hold on, there's something going off here. You said some Arabic words you're going to have to define them. Now you said Islam and Muslims. Talk to us. What's Islam? What's Muslim? You know, they don't understand some people.
All right. The word Allah. Allah is the name of the one true God, the universal God. It's the God of the whole creation. Human beings, animals, the universe, sun, moon, everyone. Mm-hmm. In the Arabic language, we call him the name Allah. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. In the Aramaic language, he also used to call God as Allah. Right? Very important. The word Islam means that you're submitting yourself to the one unseen creator. Submission to the creator is Allah.
Starting to make sense now.
And the person who submits is a Muslim.
Mm.
All right. Now so those are the three important terms for the benefit of the viewers.
These concepts, now they're going down easy to digest. Go ahead, continue, please.
All right. So since we have a book which claims that it is from the Creator, Muslims, since we are given a brain, all humanities, we are given brains to think and ponder. So we just cannot blindly accept just because our parents are telling us that this book is from our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to establish some evidence for our own sake and for the sake of the viewers and the non-Muslims who may not yet believe that Quran is from Allah. So in this show, inshallah, God willing, we are going to provide some evidence, some very concrete evidence, historical and prophecies and scientific and geological and all of those evidences to prove that, yes, this book cannot be from any other author except of the Creator himself.
So you're telling us that you're going to give some historical evidences, scientific, some prophecies, that they're all in this book. You're going to give it to us today, inshallah.
Indeed, inshallah.
Okay, I'm sure they're excited to hear. But before we go on, we raised up a book now. And some people are probably wondering, a book? Did God just drop this book from the sky? Did he just give it? How did it come to be a book? How do we, just briefly, because this is a topic in and of itself, but just so we get this out of people's minds that they don't, from the start, have some confusion. What do we mean when we're holding them a book? Did it come like this? Explain this for us.
Okay, revelation came to different prophets. Okay? Now, those revelations were written down by human beings. So, when the revelation of the Quran came by our Creator, he did not drop a book in the lap of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It came in the mind of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the revelation. And he invited his companions who knew how to read and write to compose a book that we see right now, which is the Quran. But in the presentation, inshallah, today, we are going to go much more deeper into the very topic that you have mentioned. How did we have this book in the form of, between the two covers?
Okay, so talk to us now. Let's go for the evidence number one that you want to establish. What is the first piece of evidence that you can give us to keep people tuned into this show now? Something that's going to want them to want more. Talk to us.
Sure. So the number one claim that the Muslims do provide as an evidence is that the Quran itself says many places. One of those places is in chapter 32, verse number 2 of the Quran. It says that the verses, the revelation of this book is from the Lord of the Alameen, the Lord of the universe.
So inside, the Creator is identifying that he's revealed it.
Yes, so that's very important.
That is a important point.
That's a very important point, right? So it says that the author of this book is Allah himself, the Creator himself. But the non-Muslim viewers may be obviously saying, okay, fine, I could write a book and I could say that this book is from God. It does not make it from God, right? So now we have to provide additional evidence. In the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Arabic language was at its eloquence, in its peak.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Just like English language way back in the 15th, 16th century when Shakespeare was alive,
yeah,
it was the standard was very high compared to some of the language that we're speaking now. Mm-hmm. So in the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, They used to be people who used to be of such an high caliber in Arabic language that they used to be called as the Shakespeares of their times.
Mm-hmm.
In English language, we have one Shakespeare. In Arabic language, in the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there used to be literally, tens and hundreds of Shakespeares just walking around. In each single corner, you could meet one Shakespeare.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bringing this topic is that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he started to utter the verses of the Quran, that this is coming from the Creator himself, right? Some people, they began to doubt.
Yeah.
They began to doubt, saying that how can this person who did not knew how to read and write, who just grew up, in front of us, how come this person is bringing a book and claiming that this book is from God? So to those people who are doubting the Quran itself, it makes some challenges.
Challenge.
It's very important that our Creator is challenging the people who are doubting that this book is from God. So there are multiple challenges which came.
Mm-hmm.
And these challenges are not coming to just any layperson out there on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. They're coming to the people who are masters of their language.
Yes.
Okay. So in chapter 17 of the Quran, right? Chapter 17, verse number 88 of the Quran, the Creator of the universe is mentioning in the Quran that if all of humanity and the jinns is a different creation, by the way, if all of humanity and the jinns were gathered together to produce the likeness of the Quran, they would never be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this challenge came to make the non-believers ponder that if you think that this book is coming from a human being, why don't you go and sit down and compose something which is similar or better than this book?
Try to collaborate, everybody,
yes.
All your Shakespeares and all the people from, your heads, the most intelligent among you, try, even with the unseen jinn, the spirits,
yes.
Come together and you can't do it?
Right, so that was the very first challenge,
That's a deep
right?
challenge, yeah.
So that's a deep challenge that came to the unbelievers of that time. And guess what? There is not a single evidence that they came together, having a round table conference to compose a book.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah, God, just to make them ponder, He reduced the challenge. The Quran has 114 chapters in there. They're called as the surahs, chapters, okay? So the initial challenge was to compose a book, 114 chapters. Now, since they were not able to do it, Allah, just to mock them, just to make them realize, He reduced the challenge. Okay, He reduced the challenge. It says in the chapter 10 of the Quran that if you're not able to produce the whole Quran, produce only 10 chapters, 10 surahs, as eloquent, full of knowledge, full of wisdom, full of prophecies, scientific facts, as the Quranic chapters. And guess what? They did not came together because they knew that they're not able to accomplish the job.
Now, we do believe, and I want to just tell me if this is one example of that, where if the Creator of the heavens and earth is saying, bring something like it. So for those who are saying that this might have come, this could have come, He got it from other revelations, from the Bible, from the Jews and the Christians, all they'd have to do was show that, okay, look, it's the same thing, like He plagiarized from someone else, which, if we give a living example, if you do look into certain places in the Bible, you will see identical, word for word, some pages that are identical to other pages in the Bible, like mm-hmm. where Matthew or who was it, would copy from...
Luke and Matthew,
copied from,
supposedly copied from Mark.
Identical, word for word.
Many different passages,
so
correct.
So would this be something of the challenge that you can, we're talking about?
Well, the challenge was to compose in Arabic language, not in English or Greek or any language. In Arabic language, compose
yeah.
any composition which is better in eloquence, in full of wisdom, taking people away from falsehood,
mm-hmm.
bringing them to all the good things that they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to do that, right? That's the challenge. But guess what? They're not able to accomplish that. So then God reduced the challenge. And it says in chapter 10 of the Quran, chapter 11, verse number 13 of the Quran,
mm-hmm.
compose 10 verses, 10 chapters, like the Quran's chapter. They did not do it, right? Then the challenge was reduced. Chapter 2 of the Quran, verse number 23 and 24. It says that if you're not able to compose the full Quran or 10 chapters, produce only one chapter.
And they couldn't do it.
They're not able to do it. But there, the magnitude of the challenge is very, you know, mind-boggling. The Quran has 114 chapters. It's a big book, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a big book. 114 chapters. Some chapters are very big. It has 286 verses in chapter number 2. And other chapters are small.
Mm-hmm.
Has only 3 verses. So the challenge was not to compose a chapter as big as the biggest of the chapter. It could be the smallest of the chapter which has only 3 verses in there. Right? So it's a mind-boggling challenge for all of humanity, and not just humanity, all of jinns, to compose 3 simple sentences as the Quranic sentences, similar to the Quranic sentences. That's all they had to do. If they could have done that, Islam would have been abolished, dismantled, disappeared,
mm-hmm.
way back, 1400 yeah. years ago. But since we have Islam now, it proves that they've been not able to do it. So there is no historical evidence from both Islamic or non-Islamic sources that they got together. Okay, very important. Number 2, some people may say that this is a subjective challenge,
mm-hmm.
right? That, okay, fine, if I cook a dish and if you cook a dish, and if you ask someone to come and taste the dish, right? They may like my cooking, your cooking, somebody else's cooking. So it could be subjective, right?
Yeah, something arbitrary that, you know.
Depends on the person's taste.
Yeah.
I may like a poetry better than a second poetry, and uh-huh. you may have a different taste. But the Quranic challenge is not subjective.
Yes.
That's very important for the viewers for them to realize. In Arabic language, there are 3 different modes in which someone could compose anything.
Mm-hmm.
First, you have the poetry. That's called the bihar.
Yes.
And poetry is divided in Arabic language into 16 categories. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the mursal. Mursal is like the common speech,
mm-hmm.
like what we are saying, you know, speaking right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you have the saj. Saj means it's a combination of poetry and prose, but it's not a clear cut into any one of these categories. Okay? So the challenge of the Quran is that to compose something which is similar or exceeding the Quran. Okay? The reason that the non-believers, they were, you know, are not able to come together and compose something like the Quran is, they realize that anything that they are going to compose is going to fall into one of these 3 categories.
Mm-hmm.
The poetry,
yes.
The prose, or the combination of poetry and the prose. But guess what? Quran, this is a miracle of the Quran, by the way. Quran does not fit into those 3 categories.
Not at all, huh?
No. So, an example would be, suppose, if we call all the engineers, the best architects, the best builders in the world, and ask them to build the best skyscraper, the best building, the most, you know, beautiful, eloquent building, anything that they're going to build would be how many dimensions? 3.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be 3 dimension, right?
Yeah.
The most eloquent structure. Suppose if someone composes or builds a sculpture or building which is 4 dimensions.
Ah,
right?
Yeah.
Suppose if I bring a 4 dimension structure, no human being would be able to replicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, when the Arabs of that time, who are the most eloquent in their language, when they saw the Quran, they knew that it does not fall into these 3 categories. So Quran, by its nature, it's a 4th, 5th, 10th dimensional structure.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what made them, you know, not able to even come together to compose the likeness of the Quran.
So we have the language and the challenge. Those are 2 very strong points. Let's move on to something else. Give us some more evidence for the person now who's really, you got his attention.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So instead of the non-Muslims, right, who did not believe in the Prophet or Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or the oneness of the Creator, and they used to worship the pagan gods and sun and the moon and the creation,
mm-hmm.
all they had to do was come together, right, to compose 3 sentences. But guess what? Since they were not able to do that, what did they started to do? They started to come and physically torture the Muslims. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, they fought 27 battles with Muslims. And in those battles, not only the Muslims, they suffered, even the non-Muslims, mm-hmm. they suffered. By their property, by their family, by their country, and by their lives. All the bloodshed, all the battles could have been avoided by them composing three simple sentences.
Yes.
Isn't it mind-boggling? Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so that is the very first challenge and the evidence that the Quran cannot be from a human being. It has to be from the Creator.
They didn't have to exhort themselves that much. Just bring up these three lines, beat the challenge and...
get it over with.
Yeah.
Islam would be dismantled, right?
Yes.
And the challenge still stands, by the way. There are 15 million Christians whose native language is Arabic,
mm-hmm.
living in the Arab lands.
Yes.
This challenge is even open for them.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we have the computers and the modern technology. They could bring all of those things together and they could get the help of the jinns if they want to.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the next evidence for the truth of the Quran.
Yeah, give us some more. Now, let's go down. We're almost out of time. So we got the challenge of the language and the linguistic challenge. Now, let's go on to something else.
All right. So there are many, many prophecies in the Quran.
Prophecies.
Okay? Prophecies in the Quran. One of those eloquent prophecies is in chapter 15,
mm-hmm.
verse number 9, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu la hafizun," which means it is Allah who has sent down this message, this zikr, this Quran, and it is Allah who is going to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Protection from any addition, any deletion, any revision, and it getting lost. So the Quran that we have today right now in our hands is exactly the same Quran, word for word, that was given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, without any change. Without any change. So the way that happened, you know, really quickly, is that as soon as a verse used to be revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, right? He, by the miracle of Allah, he used to memorize it.
Uh-huh.
And in his lifetime, he memorized the whole book. It's not a small book, by the way. Look at how many pages, right? It's a big book. He memorized the whole Quran in his lifetime. Companions around him, tens and hundreds and thousands of them, they memorized the whole Quran.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second miracle. People of all generations, they kept on memorizing the Quran. They kept on memorizing the Quran up until the year 2009,
yes.
without any breakage in any generation. And guess what? There are 10 million people living right now, Muslims, who have memorized the whole Quran.
So this is, it's been memorized as it was memorized back then, and it was passed down, and we have it in its original, memorized like and recited like it was back then.
Yes, continuous chain of memorization. And there is no book, no Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the Hindu Vedas, the Buddhist, any scripture or any secular scripture for that matter, which has been memorized by that many people for that long a time.
Tell us now, we have a few more minutes and there's so much to cover. This time goes by fast. Science, this is the time now where science is not like it was before. And tell us, is there any things of science mentioned in the Quran that wasn't known back then, but it's known today and it's mentioned in the Quran?
Sure, very good, very good. See, the Quran has 6,000 plus verses in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And close to 500 of those verses, they deal with modern scientific facts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not theories, not hypotheses, modern scientific facts.
Mm-hmm.
500 of them. And guess what? None of them are contradicted by the modern scientific discoveries and mm-hmm. inventions. So just imagine a human being, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, living in the 7th century, did not know how to read and write without any telescope or microscope or any instruments that we are familiar with, coming up with scientific truths. Okay? So let's, in maybe a couple of minutes... It says in the Quran, chapter 21, verse number 30, "Don't the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth, they were joined together, and
yeah.
it is Allah who has made them asunder."
Mm-hmm.
So that speaks about the fact about the Big Bang, the paradigm that we, all the scientists in the world, that's how they believe that the universe came into existence. A primordial mass, eventually explosion, that explosion gave rise to all the galaxies, the sun and the moon, and the whole world that we are living
mentioned in this Quran.
Mentioned in the Quran, discovered just in the last century
mm-hmm.
by using our Hubble telescope and the redshift and the blue shift and all of that. A person living in the desert cannot have done that. It has about things about embryology, all right? Embryology means when a baby develops inside the mother's womb. Mm-hmm. It describes in details, many, many places in the Quran, that from a very, few cell stage, how is the baby looks like, correct? How the baby looks like and how it develops and all of those things. And it's scientifically accurate. In fact, there are many scientists living in our day and age, Dr. Keith Moore, Dr. Maurice Bucay, Dr. Marshall Johnson, whose books that I have read in my medical science, by the way.
Yes.
And they testify to the fact that a human being cannot have done those things. It has to be coming from God. Maurice Bucay says that. Robert Marshall says that. And Keith Moore says that.
These are the specialists in those fields.
They are specialists, yeah. Embryologists and medical doctors and physicians.
Give us one more point. We got to go. One more point. And then we're going to have to do a part two. Talk to us. One more thing that's just
okay, very good.
Amazing.
Chapter 4 of the Quran, verse number 82. It says that had this book been from other than the Creator, Allah, you would have found many contradiction in it. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you examine anyone, if you pick up the Quran and you read the Quran, you would not find any contradiction, neither internal nor external. No contradiction when it comes to Quran and science, Quran and philosophy, Quran and the things that we are aware of, the things that we know of. Mm-hmm. So Quran is free of contradiction. A big book written by a person who is not able to read and write cannot have come with that many verses without contradicting himself.
For someone who wants to look further into the science aspect or some of these other miracles, is there any reading that you recommend that they do? Any books in particular?
Yeah, there are many books. One book that I would recommend is the book by Dr. Maurice Bucay, the Bible and the Quran in the Light of History and Science. And the website that I would recommend is Gain Peace, G-A-I-N, Peace, P-E-A-C-E.com. Okay?
Okay, well, yes. We're gonna do a part two, okay. Inshallah, God willing, because we had so much to cover, so little time. So we're gonna continue talking about the verbatim word of God. We're gonna cut out. Thank you for helping
thank
us,
you very much.
And we're gonna be back with you in a few. And we'd like to thank you for coming to be with us this week on the Deen Show, where we're talking about the verbatim word of God, establishing evidences that this is indeed from the Creator of the heavens and earth. So much to cover, so little time. We're going to come back and we're going to cover part two on why this Quran can be from no one other than the Creator of the heavens and earth. We're going to be right back. You don't go nowhere here on the Deen Show with our guest, Dr. Sabil.
Muhammad could not have known these facts about human development in the 7th century because most of them were not discovered until the 20th century.
That God transmitted through Muhammad bits of his knowledge that we have only discovered for ourselves in recent times.
1,400 years ago, when the world was immersed in darkness, the Quran was revealed, which brought light to a beleaguered world. And whereas the earlier books came with many scientific mistakes, due to the hand of man having delved into them, the Quran had none of these contradictions. The world thought there could be no reconciliation between religion and science. But the Quran mentioned many scientific facts in great detail, like how a human being developed in the mother's womb, and described other scientific facts which amaze the world's renowned scientists and scientific community.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Deen Show. This week we're sitting with the Dr. Dawa, which I call him my good friend Dr. Sabil, and we're talking about the verbatim word of God, giving those people out there who are sincere, honest, and they want to know the truth, giving them some evidences that the Quran is indeed the verbatim word of God and nobody else. Let's bring Dr. Sabil on and continue this topic. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace and blessings to all the viewers up there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, we have so much evidence here and there are so many proofs. This is just something just to scratch the surface, just to get the people excited that they can go on their own and do some more investigating. So in part one, we establish some evidences And for each one of those, you can talk for hours. Now we're going to be in part two. We're going to be talking about the possibilities of the person who is naturally, we don't want them to just swallow anything blindly. We want them to use their mind, to use the tools that God Almighty has given them, to judge, to be sincere, to see, like, could this be from a man, or can this be from, you know, someone in something in the creation that put this together, or is this indeed from the Creator? So some people have come up with some arguments that possibly that he copied it from previous scriptures like the Bible. What do you have to say about this?
All right, yes. We have the Quran up here, who we Muslims, there are 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, and we all claim that this is the book, the author of this book was no other than the Creator himself. We all say that, we Muslims, right? Now, in the part one of the show, we have provided some evidence, right? Mm-hmm. That it cannot be a human being, it has to be from God. Okay. Now, in today's show, part number two, we are going to examine some of the possible authorships that some non-Muslims, that they claim that this book is fine. Since they don't believe that this is from God, they claim that this book is either from copied from the Bible, or Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he authored the Quran, you know, from his own thoughts and contemplating and all of that. Some people say that this book was copied from the Greeks and the Roman literature. And some say that, you know, nausbillah, God forbid, this book is coming from Satan.
These are some of the arguments that you hear from people.
Indeed.
Okay, so we want to knock all these out to make sure we clear all this junk that's in the way, all right, so that people can see the truth for what it is.
All right, so let's take the number one possible authorship of the Quran. And many people, especially the Jews and the Christians, they claim that the book has been copied from the Bible.
Yeah.
Now, before we dwell on that, it's very important for us to realize that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it says in chapter 7 of the Quran, verse number 157 and 158, that he was a prophet, a person who did not knew how to read and write. You know, we all had formal education. We could read our names, we could read books, we could read, you know, internet and stuff.
Yeah.
But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, even if you showed his name on the paper, he's not able to read his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, he was an illiterate prophet, did not have any education. Number two, suppose if you take up the theory of was the Quran copied from the Bible. Now, in the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Old Testament or the New Testament in its complete form in Arabic language was not available.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Okay? The language of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was Arabic, right?
Yes.
But the Old Testament is in Hebrew. The New Testament in Greek.
Yes.
Right? So for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, even if he had access to the Greek and the Hebrew Bible, how would he be able to read it? So the very first translation or the complete translation of the Old Testament was done in the 10th century. Okay?
So he didn't have access to
Okay?
Okay, that's
by a scholar named Sadia Gaon. He's the one who made the translation around the 10th century CE. Okay? Number two, the translation of all of the New Testament was done in the year 1616.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in the year 1671, Rome, it did the complete translation of all the 66 books of the Bible in Arabic language. That is like close to 1,000 years after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, just because there are similarities in the Bible and in the Quran does not mean that one book copied from the other book. It is possible that they both have common source, right? They both have common source. So what we Muslims believe is that, yes, revelations came to previous prophets, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses, Prophet David, and other prophets, peace be upon them. And some of the remnants of those revelations are still present in the Old and the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Creator, when he sent the Quran, he also mentions some of the stories of the previous prophets. Okay? So just because there are similarities does not mean Quran plagiarized from the Bible. No, they all have a common source. So when it comes to the Bible, we see that there are many similarities. And I'm just going to touch upon two similarities because of the shortness of time. And then we will judge. I will have our dear viewers to judge yourself to see if the Quran was copied from the Bible. Number one, there are similarities in the story when it comes to the story of Noah, Noah alayhi salam, right?
Yes.
Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, the prophet of the ark, all right? So in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, in the Old Testament, the very first book, chapter 7, verse number 11, it mentions that because, you know, people were very evil in his time, the time of Prophet Noah, God, as a punishment, he sent rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the whole world was submerged in water.
Yeah.
Right? And all of humanity, anything that breathes in the whole world was destroyed,
mm-hmm.
except the people and the beings, the living beings who were there in the ark.
Yes.
Right? So according to the Bible, the whole world was destroyed. Now, Quran also mentions a similar story. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter number 11, verse number 21 of the Quran. It also mentions a similar story. However, the Quran says that it was the people of Noah who were disbelievers, who were rejecting God, who were doing evil. They were the ones who were destroyed.
Mm.
The Quran says it was a local flood,
local,
not a universal
flood.
Yeah.
And is this something established now historically?
Historically, it's established. Archaeologists,
yes.
historians, they all have consensus that it was a local flood. In fact, there is a very famous book called The History, The Bible as History,
yeah.
okay, by Weber, Keller Weber. He is the author of it. And this is what he has to say, that archaeology has not yet established a flood to the magnitude of the flood mentioned in the Bible. But it has established that there was a flood in the northwest region of Persian Gulf in 400 miles times 100 miles. That is the area in which Prophet Noah and his people were living.
Amazing. So this is one example. I'm sure there, I'm confident that there are many more that you can give, but we have so little time. Talk about the next point that he himself... He is the one behind, he's the mastermind behind this Quran.
All right, so some people, okay, so we have established the fact that the Quran cannot have been copied from the Bible, or else the Quran would have incorporated those same, you know, quote-unquote mistakes that
yeah.
are present in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But how come the Quran left off those mistakes and only extracted the authentic things, right?
Yeah.
Unless it has to be coming from the Creator.
Indeed.
Indeed, right? So now, some people claim that it was Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was the author of the Quran. And now it's very important. First of all, he was a person who was did not know how to read and write. On the top of it, he was given the title of As-Siddiq and Al-Amin, the most honored and the most truthful person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Not just by the Muslims, but also by the non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So the most honest, the best role model person in that community is claiming that this book is from God. Why would he be lying? A person lies, a false prophet, he or she lies because of some ulterior gains for name and fame and money and, you know, power and all of those things.
Did he have a hidden bank account? Did he have, is it recorded that he had, all, you know, lived a lavish lifestyle, that he had these worldly things that might have to support these accusations?
Well, actually, you know, non-Muslims, since they did not like the message of the oneness of God,
yeah.
right? They wanted to worship all of those idols. They offered him, they bribed him actually,
mm-hmm.
that if you give up preaching the oneness of God, we'll give you the best, the most wealth, we'll make you the richest of the person.
Yeah.
If you desire that, we'll give you that. Or if you want, if you're seeking after power, we'll make you the head of the state of all of the Arab region.
Yeah.
Or we'll give you the best women, the best girls for you to marry.
Yeah.
But guess what? A false prophet would have taken up the offer, right? Become the head of the state and whatever. But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, since he was a true prophet, he rejected that offer. And he said, I'm not going to take that offer, even if they bring the sun and the moon in my right and my left hand. So the life that he led, you know, Brother Eddie, was a life of very modest, very humble life. His house was smaller than this studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had only like maybe just a one or two items in his house. And there are narrations by his wives that sometimes there was nothing for them to eat for 3 days and three nights. All they had to do, eat was, you know, just some dates and some water. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was much more richer, okay, before he claimed prophethood than after he claimed prophethood. Yeah. What could have been the motive for that?
Yeah, it's amazing. Is there anything in the Quran now, if someone is saying that, look, he's the mastermind behind this, obviously someone's going to want to elevate himself. Someone's going to want to put themselves in the spotlight. Is there anything in this verbatim word of God now that would support this? Is there the calamity that struck him in his own personal life with his wife dying or any of these other personal situations? Are they mentioned in there?
Well, that's a very important point, by the way. See, the Quran has 6,000 plus verses. It speaks about, you know, many individuals, many prophets and all of that. It speaks about some of the common people. Mm-hmm. Many tragedies struck Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, right? His wife, the most beloved wife, Khadija, Allah's peace be upon her, she passed away, right?
Is that
not
mentioned?
Not a mention about that. But what is mentioned is about the mother of Jesus, peace be upon her. Okay? So, if Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, if he used to love his wife and his daughters and his children so much, and he had so many tragedies in his life, how come none of those things are mentioned in there?
It's not mentioned in there, huh?
Yeah, if he were, you know, God forbid, a false prophet, he would have mentioned and elevated and honored and praised his family. He did not do it.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. And he did not praise himself.
So much to cover, so little time. The next possibility that some skeptics might bring up is that he got this from his visiting with others in different tribes, other Jews and Christians, people from the Greeks, from other methodologies. What do we got to say about this?
All right. There were some Jews and some Christians, okay? Not that many, by the way. Some scattered around the Middle Eastern region, okay? The three important ones that he had interaction with were Waraka, okay? Waraka was the uncle of the first wife of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Her name was Khadija.
Yeah.
Okay? Peace be upon her. Now, he was a Christian. Waraka was a Christian. So when the initial revelation came, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he went to Waraka and he, you know, had some interaction with him. Waraka confirmed that you are a prophet and that you, that your people are going to reject you, just the way that they have rejected other people, right?
Now this Waraka that you're saying, for some people who are hearing this name for the first time, can you kind of give more of a, who was this person?
Yeah, this person used to be a pagan. He converted to Christianity, right? So he knew who prophet, what is prophethood. He knew what revelation is, and he knew the prophecies.
He knew the criteria to match to be a prophet.
Yeah, not only that, he knew the prophecies mentioned in the Old and the New Testament about the coming of a prophet.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be a different show, but there are prophecies in the New and the Old Testament about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So, after a few days, after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was appointed as a prophet, Waraka, he passed away.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is Waraka was not alive when the bulk of the Quran was revealed and written down. So how can he have been an author of the Quran?
How about Greek writings or these other ancient...
Sure. So some people do bring up the notion that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he extracted the material, especially the scientific facts, which are mentioned in the Quran, right?
Yeah.
The Quran has 6,000 plus verses in there, and no less than 500 of them that deal with modern scientific facts, which has been confirmed by our scientists to be as true.
Yeah, amazing.
Right. Now, there are some scientific truths in the Greek, Roman, Persian, Chinese, Indian, Egyptian writings. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a fact, that they do contain some scientific truths. Besides the scientific truths, they also contain incorrect scientific statements. So now, okay, before I make that statement, suppose if I'm not a good student, right? And if I have to take a final exam, and if I'm sitting next to a person who is a B average student, if I'm going to plagiarize all of his answers, right? At the end of the time, at the end of the exam, am I going to get an A grade? Suppose if this guy is getting a B grade, would I get an A grade if I copied 100% from that person?
No, not at all.
Not at all, right? Because along with the right answers that he's writing, I'm also going to incorporate the incorrect answers, correct? In the same way, even if for the sake of argument, that if Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had a laptop computer with all the knowledge of the ancient world, and that he knew how to read and write, okay, for the sake of argument. Even then, if he had to extract the material, how did he only extract it, the truths from those scriptures and left the falsehoods, right? Unless he was a prophet of Allah.
Yeah.
Unless he was a prophet, right? Because in those ancient scriptures, right, they say that the Quran, not the Quran, the world, some of them used to say that the world was flat. Some said that the world was flat, floating on the ocean. Yeah. Some say that the world was, you know, round and spherical. So out of many, many different notions that they had, truth and falsehood, how come the Quran says in chapter number 71, verse number 3, that the world is spherical, like an egg shape, not the shape of a hen egg, but the shape of an ostrich egg. And that's how the shape of the world is.
Do we have any reports that, because obviously if you're sitting with people and say you take their work, now that these people start to see that you are, people are starting to admire your teachings and you're getting some publicity and you're getting some attention, they're going to come out and say, hey, hold on, I taught you that. Mm-hmm. Do we have people raising their hands and saying like, no, he got it from me. Do we have any accounts of this?
In the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, there was not a single person, unbeliever, who raised his hand and said, you know what you're saying in the Quran, I already knew it.
I taught you that,
or I knew it. You know, it's found in this scripture. Mm-hmm. None. No one raised their hand and accused the Prophet. If they would have done it, Islam would have been dismantled.
So these are really just silly arguments, but obviously, you know, they're worth touching upon because for the sincere person, he kind of sees through this and this just confirms with him to continue looking into this, because indeed, I mean, it's overwhelming the amount of evidence that proves that this is indeed from the Creator. There's one more point. Some people say that this is from the devil. This is from, and we in Arabic we say shaitan. What do you got to say about this?
All right. That's even though, you know, for Muslims that sounds like a very crazy argument. Okay, but for according to you know some Christians and whatever, they do make that accusation, by the way.
But this is deep. I mean, if you think about this, because you're already acknowledging that this is something superhuman. This is not. It can't come from a human being. So.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so people, they want to deny that the Quran is from God, so they are just going to one source or the other source, and Muslims, we keep on destroying all of those sources, okay? Now, the source that they do say is that the Quran, you know, God forbid, is from Satan.
Yeah.
Satan was the author of the Quran, mm-hmm. And guess what? Satan is mentioned in the Quran, by the way.
Yeah.
Each time Shaitan or Satan is mentioned, he's mentioned in a negative term.
Yeah.
Very important. Negative term. Each time it mentioned, it says, don't believe in Satan. He's not God. Believe in God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it says on the top of it, any time that you're going to recite the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. That means, I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Alright? So Satan is being rebuked in the Quran. He is being called as an enemy of humanity,
yeah.
And he's being, you know, labeled in very, very negative way terms any time that he's been mentioned. So why would Satan make people go towards God and away from himself?
Doesn't make sense.
That's against the way Satan acts.
So for Satan to be the mastermind now, this is again a silly argument that if you look at it, this is dismantled quickly, because we as Muslims, ones who submit to the will of God, are seeking refuge with the Creator from the Satan.
Right. And Satan was a jinn. Okay.
Yeah.
Jinns are created beings.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, Satan is not all-knowing. He doesn't know the past. He doesn't know the future. But Quran has historical things of the past and prophecies of the future. So even if Satan, for the sake of argument, was the author, he would not have been able to come up with the historical facts and the prophecies of the future.
And in the verbatim word of God, the Quran, God Almighty is admonishing things that the human being to stay away from, satanic things, adultery, fornication, gambling, all the evil vices, mm-hmm. that would obviously be more in line with teachings of what Satan or the devil wants you to do. He wants you to break up ties of kinship. That's a major sin, to break off ties of kinship. He wants you to go and cheat on your wife. That's a major sin in Islam. He wants you to set up gods besides the one God. That's something that will put you in a hellfire forever, but it doesn't fit. It's unfathomable.
That's for people to ponder, right? I mean, humanity, we are going through so many problems, right? And Satan would be calling humanity towards indulging in sin and evil.
Yeah.
Quran says that do not take alcohol or intoxicants. And intoxicants is one of, it says that it is a handiwork of Satan.
Yeah.
All right? So Islam is telling us to stay away from things which are bad for your person and bad for the society. And calling to all things which are good, right? Obligation to your parents, to your family, to humanity at large, to the neighbors and to the needy. And ultimately, to submit to one God. That is the main message of the Quran. To submit to the one creator and not to his creation. May that be an idol, a human being, a saint, the sun or the moon. And Satan would be calling towards these things. So how come Satan, if he were the author, he would be calling people to the creation but not to the creator? But the Quran does the opposite. So with that, Satan cannot be the author of the Quran.
So where else do you go now? Okay, we've refuted some of the arguments that someone who is possibly just wanting to know the truth. He said, how do I know that it didn't come from Muhammad? How do I know that he didn't take it from Muhammad? How do I know? You just gave some good proofs that no, this could not have been from anyone other than the Creator. So where does a person go from here now?
Well, the only option that is left is that this Quran that we have in our hands, right? It cannot be from a human being. It cannot be from Satan. It cannot be extracted from the Bible. It cannot be from Satan or jinn or any source. So the only possibility which is left right now is that this Quran is from a superhuman, above the creation source, and that source is the Creator Himself, who we Muslims call as Allah. Now, if that is the case, it becomes an obligation for each single human being to find out what the Quran is, what is the message of the Quran, how can it help me, and ultimately how it's going to help me in the hereafter.
How could someone get a copy of the verbatim Word of God?
It's very easy, right? We would like to give you a gift of the Quran, all right? And this Quran it has both Arabic and English in there. But some of you may not be able to read Arabic. So what we have done is we have translated the Quran into 100 plus languages. So if any one of you would like to obtain a free copy of the Quran in either Spanish or English language, they could contact a telephone number which is 800-662-ISLAM. 800-662-ISLAM. If you call the telephone number, we'll be able to send you a package that has a translation of the Quran in there, and it has many, many other goodies in there for their benefit, inshallah.
Inshallah. So tell us any advice for that person who now he has grown up in a different faith, in Christianity, Hinduism, in Zoroastrianism, in this ism, that ism, and now, you know, he sees that by watching this, that the evidence is overwhelming, that this, you know, this has to be from God. I mean, what can he do to break through them barriers, you know, the timidness of now possibly, you know, maybe losing some friends, maybe, you know, being associated with, you know, some of the bad things that now the press and the media are associating with Islam. What advice do you give to that person who's just, you know, needs that little extra encouragement?
Sure. That's a very relevant question, and all human beings should ponder on that question, okay? We all know that me, you, each single one of us, we are going to pass away one day. And this life of 60, 70, 100 years is not the only life that we have to live. After we pass away, there would be a day of resurrection. Mm-hmm. Our Creator is going to resurrect us back to life, both in body and in our soul.
Yeah.
And on that day, God is going to evaluate us. There would be a day of judgment. And He's going to ask very two important questions. Did you believe in me alone? Or did you believe in a human being? Or an idol? Or sun, moon, or the creation? And did you follow the guidance? And that guidance, Brother Eddie, and to all my viewers up there, is found in the Quran. In the Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was the last messenger and the last prophet sent to guide humanity. He was the mercy to mankind. So Islam, as we have mentioned in the initial part of the show, that means submission to the one creator.
Mm-hmm.
And all the prophets of God, may that be Adam or Noah or Moses and Jesus and Ishmael and Isaac and Muhammad, peace be upon them. If you examine the life of all of them, They did not used to worship a human being or an image or an idol, sun or the moon. They all used to submit to the one and same creator. That means, by definition, they were following the ideology of Islam, submission to the creator. And since they are submitting, they were all Muslims. So in that sense, Islam is not a new faith. It is the same faith that was brought by all the prophets. So if a person would like to embrace Islam, they're not embracing a new faith or a strange faith. They're embracing the same faith of all the prophets of God. Okay, that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that many revelations came before the Quran, but unfortunately, those revelations are not preserved for us. May that be the Old Testament, New Testament, the Vedas, and anything else of that matter, right? Who people claim to be as the Word of God. Our life of eternity would be at stake depending upon what choice that we make in this world.
Yes.
So you have maybe like 10 different books on the table, correct? You have the Old Testament, New Testament, and all the religious books of the world, along with the Quran. Now, we have provided our dear viewers enough evidence for any thinking human being, is that how can the Quran, which is over here, cannot be the author cannot be anyone besides Allah, and it has not been changed. Any other book besides the Quran, it has been changed.
Yes.
Okay. So we cannot stake our life of eternity in something which is less than 100%, compared to the Quran, which is 100%. Very important. So what can Islam offer for you, my dear viewers? Very important, right? There are so many problems which are going on in this world. Mm-hmm. We have a down economy,
yeah.
Right? People, homicide is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
We are filling jail after jail. 2.3 million people who are in the jails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Despite that fact, and there are more police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of those facts, the crime is not decreasing,
yeah.
Right? The rapes are not decreasing. 90,000 rapes in this country each year, right? Assaults and guns and gangs and divorce and homicides and suicides. Solutions for all of them are found in Islam, in the Quran, in the final guidance that our Creator has given to us.
It's all there.
In the Quran,
huh?
Yes. So not only Quran is calling us to worship one God and wants to make our life better in this world, so we could stay away from the problems. And the better part is, it is calling us towards all the good things in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Being, giving up cheating and, not lying, being honest, fulfilling your obligation to your wife and children and society at
everything
large.
Good.
Making you a better person, society a better person. So it does away with all the problems, makes society peace, harmonious. Okay? But the best reward for a person who embraces Islam would be eternal paradise in the hereafter.
Paradise.
And we all wish ourselves, our viewers, that we could all look into the Quran, ponder on the Quran, read the Quran, and ultimately embrace the truth so we could all be together in paradise.
We're running out of time. That's it. Thank you for helping us to cover this topic.
Welcome.
Inshallah, we'll have you back to cover another topic. And we'd like to thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. You heard it. The evidence has been established. And it's very clear that this Quran could not have come from anyone else other than the Creator of the heavens and the earth. At the end of the show, you see a number that you can call to get a free copy. And we hope that you are honest and sincere enough with yourself. Ask the one who created you to guide your heart to the truth. It's quite simple. You worship the one God. You worship Him alone. You submit to Him. And you do what He wants you to do on His terms. And that's it. And we hope to have you back here again next time on The Dean Show. Until then, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart. I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away
Oh Allah, guide me.